This is a HeadGum Podcast.
You guys, Lady Levin is brought to you by Away, first class luggage at a coach price. We are obsessed with Away. We know the founders in New York City, and they had a brilliant idea when they were at JFK with their dead cell phones, delayed flights. They wanted luggage with power, baby. Thus, the Away carry-on was born. So they use high-quality materials with their luggage and suitcases. You can choose from a variety of colors and four sizes, which is so cool. And everything is made from premium German polycarbonate. It's unrivaled in strength and impact resistant, and it's also very, very lightweight. There are four 300-degree spinner wheels guaranteeing a smooth ride through the airport. And of course, TSA-approved combo locks built in to prevent theft. And those carry-on bags are able to charge your cell phone, your tablet, your e-reader. Like, honestly, they're very, very cool. So if you guys want 20% off a suitcase, all you gotta do is visit awaytravel.com/lovin and use promo code lovin during checkout. Now I need to tell you that the promo code lovin at away.com needs to be all lowercase, you guys. Lowercase L-O-V-I-N. So remember, for $20 off that suitcase, awaytravel.com/lovin and use promo code lovin, all lowercase, during checkout.
Today's episode is brought to you by Care Of. We love Care Of on the Lady Lovin' podcast. I feel like we talk about it all the time. You guys, Care Of is a monthly subscription vitamin service made from effective quality ingredients, personally tailored to your exact needs. And it's so cool. You go online and you take this quiz to figure out what vitamins and supplements you specifically need. It asks you about your diet, your health goals, and your lifestyle choices. You answer a couple questions and then whammo, they give you these amazing suggestions and you can get whatever you want. I really like Care Of because they make these individually wrapped packets with your name on them, with your specific vitamins and supplements, so they're super easy to grab and go, and you'll receive a 30-day supply shipped right to your door, which is, honestly, they just are making it so, so easy. So if you want 25% off your first month of personalized Care Of vitamins, visit takecareof.com and enter promo code LOVIN, L-O-V-I-N. Remember, that's 25% off your first month. That is a lot of your personalized Care Of vitamins. All you got to do is go to takecareof.com and enter promo code LOVIN, L-O-V-I-N, for that 25% off.
All right, guys, here's a fresh new Monday for you. This is your episode of Lady Lovin'.
Hi, Jen. It is, and we're coming from you to you bi-coastal.
We're bi-coastal babes.
We're living my dream of being bi-coastal, except it's on iTunes.
Yes, it is. And I'm so excited because I'm going to be in New York in less than 2 weeks.
I'm very excited. I missed that face of yours
for a visit, and then I'm gonna be back in New York again 2 weeks later.
Amazing.
Yeah, so
you know what, we do this podcast now via FaceTime. Yeah. A little, and I just basically have an hour to look at my face. And I've just been feeling like I look very old. Do you ever look in the mirror and you're like, oh shit.
Yeah, last week I had this moment where I was looking in the mirror and I literally thought to myself, there's no going back.
Yeah. I know. And I keep on, like, my face structure has changed. Like, I feel it's like I've gotten more of a cheekbone, which is pretty cool, but then I feel like I just look older. It's so weird. I'm like an adult.
Yeah, we all look older.
I guess I'm approaching 32.
I saw a photo on Facebook of me and my friend Alyssa from like 6 or 7 years ago, and I showed it to her, and we look different now. I had lunch with her on Friday. I was like, We look different, girl.
My thing is, I feel like I finally lost my baby fat in my face, because I used to have a very full face when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
And now I just feel like I have like this more of a gaunt look in my face.
Same.
But then I'm like, wrinkles are coming, you know?
Yeah.
It's odd.
Yes, 100%.
That's why I'm happy that you guys give me all of the skincare tips so I can remain looking young.
Looking super youthful, yeah. So you guys, Greta can't be here today. Jilly's on FaceTime. So like last week, sorry if the audio gets a little jacked sometimes. We're going to get her back into the studio in Brooklyn. Don't you worry. And yes. She's actually going to be in LA, so we can record here a little bit too, which is super exciting. So what's going on with you, Jilly? How was your Passover? How was your weekend?
I had an amazing Passover. I cooked. I tried to cook.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is a funny story. Please tell
us. This is a very funny story, guys. So I purchased a brisket from a meat dealer, or as people call a butcher.
So yeah, it's a butcher, not a meat dealer. What the fuck is a meat dealer, Jill?
It's what I call a butcher.
It sounds like sex slavery.
I get a brisket and my appetizers from this meat dealer in Brooklyn. And I ordered it to be marinated because I just wanted to pop the baby in the oven and then have it, right? So I was doing Passover at his house, and it was supposed to be delivered to their house so they could put it in the oven. And then when I got over there, I would take it out, you know? So I thought it was going to be, as someone who doesn't cook, I was like, you're like sugar, you know what I mean? It's going to be great. And of course, they couldn't deliver the brisket to the person's house. And then the brisket shows up not marinated. So I've got all of a sudden it's 2 p.m. on a Friday, and I have this unmarinated, you know, piece of meat in front of me. And what I had to do was put it back in the freezer and just decide to do that another time. And then instead, I just had all of these sides and appetizers. Was a lot of food. It was so much food that I was able to, and of course I made the Seder plate, I was able to take half of the food to my other Passover on Saturday night.
See,
so really, I feel like I nailed Passover.
You did. Jill was FaceTiming me when she was,
I was
putting everything together, being like, is this enough food? And it was like, just you and like another person. And I was, she was eating up so much food.
So much food.
Being like, is this enough? Is this enough? It was like 8 pieces of chicken, like 7 meat pies. What else was on there? And then
sweet potato.
Yeah. She had all of these vegetables. Like, she had food for like literally 8 people. And it was a really small number of people eating on Friday night. And she kept just being like, I don't think it's enough. But Jill's definitely enough. And when she was going to reheat the food, I was on the phone with her, not FaceTime yet. And she was like, so I found these silver trays. I was like, okay, like a serving platter? She's like, no, like a silver tray. You know, I can just like put food on it and put it in the oven, right? And I was like, oh, you mean a baking sheet? I don't know why I think this is so funny.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. Everyone was like, seeing you try to work a kitchen was like a frightening moment.
Jilly, have you?
Here's the thing. I think that if anyone out there is not, you know, the cooking thing doesn't come natural to them, or it's not fun, that's okay, because there's plenty of other things that we're good at besides navigating the kitchen. You know what I mean?
Yes, that's totally fine. But I guess I'm just curious, like, how many times in your life have you cooked something for yourself?
Well, I don't really remember how much I cooked in college. I would assume that it wasn't very often. But post 25, just this Passover dinner. Twice. Because I'll tell you this much, I've never had a robust cabinet of cooking items. Like, and we were speaking about this when I was making my grocery list, that it's very expensive to cook for like one or two people, especially if you don't have, if you're buying like, you know, brown sugar every time, or like the salt, or the like dressing, or, you know, like I don't, or balsamic, like I don't have any of those. But, really, I don't have those items.
But let me clarify, when you make a recipe and brown sugar is in the recipe or balsamic vinegar is in the recipe, you go buy that once and then it lasts you for a period of time. So it's not like you have to go buy it every single time. So you go to the store and you buy like basics one time, and then they just last you for a while. So you don't have to go buy stuff every single time. But I will say that Jill sent me her grocery list, and it was really long and very complicated. So any person would have had to have gone to the store. But I mean, like, Jilly, you should have some salt and pepper and olive oil and balsamic vinegar in your house. Like, what if you just, like, want to eat a salad?
The whole story is, I feel like when I'm going to need to start fresh, you know, for probably the first few months that I'm cooking.
Yeah.
And I just haven't really decided to dive down that way yet. I do think, like, you know, I feel like a lot of people when they get married, especially people that are older in their 30s and they get married, they're like, I don't need any cooking stuff because I have everything. Like, I want to register like somewhere fun or like go on a trip. Like, I'm going to need all that shit. Like, I have nothing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, but we
do think that I haven't, you know, I do want to cook and I would like to learn how to cook. And like, I think especially as I'm getting older, it's something that I want to do, especially when I'm dating someone, I want to cook for them and all that sort of stuff, just because I feel like there's something romantic about it. But I think that it's going to take me a few more times before I can really dive into it, you know?
Yeah, I feel you on that. I like cooking because it's just so much healthier for you than eating restaurant food most of the time. Just like the amount of sodium and fat is so much less. And it actually is way cheaper to eat at home. It just is. But Jilly, one day we'll go to IKEA and for $100 we can get you all the kitchen stuff that you need. But then we'll also have to go to the grocery store. But it'll be fun.
I would like to do that one day. I really would like to cook one day.
Okay, one day we'll do that.
It's hard. I also don't really get home from work and exercise and everything till at least 8, and by that time I'm like, I can't just sit there and cook for another hour. Like, I need to eat and go to bed.
I feel you. That's why when the kitchen starts to call your name, then we'll get into it. It's not something that we have to do today. But I'm so glad that you had a nice Passover. You saw your sister. You guys like hung out all weekend, which is so nice.
How was your Easter?
My Easter was chill. We don't really celebrate religious holidays anymore in my family, to be honest with you. I was raised Catholic, and, you know, did confirmation and, you know, was confirmed in the Catholic Church when I was in high school. But I don't know, it's just sort of fallen off for me. I think, like, you know, the revelations of priest molesting a bunch of children doesn't really sit very well with me. But I believe in higher power. Like, I believe that there is a God, and I think that religion for people can be a really wonderful part of their lives. As I've gotten older, I'm more open to sort of like other faiths and beliefs, and you know, I'm not exactly it's not that I'm not sure what I believe in. Like, I think that there's energy. I think that there's God in some form. I don't necessarily believe he's like a big dude up in the sky. But I think that there's something more to the universe than just, we just happen to be here. You know what I mean? So all in all, I didn't really do anything for Easter. But I had a really nice weekend. My brother and his fiance, were in LA, so I spent some time with them, which was really nice. It's fun when I get visitors from my family. So mostly I just chilled. I just, like, saw, excuse me, mostly I just saw friends and hung out, so it was good. And here we are recording this episode on Monday morning, and it's going to be released today. So this is pretty much as fresh as it gets with Lady Lovin', you know?
It's almost like we're live.
It's almost like we're live, for sure. As I was driving down to the studio downtown today, I thought, wouldn't it be fun to do like a live show every week? I know with the three of our schedules, it would be hard to do that, but...
I would love to do that.
Okay, well then you got to find a time in your schedule every week where it's the same time definitively every single week. But yeah, honestly, like I just don't have a lot to report right now, to be honest with you. I told you
guys.
Have
you gone on any hot dates recently?
No, I feel like I told y'all last episode, I'm kind of trying not to focus on it so much right now. So I'm just not making it a priority in my life. And I feel like my body will tell me when it wants to be a priority again. I'm honestly like pretty comfortable just chilling, except when I'm PMSing. Then like when I go to sleep at night, I'm like, I'm lonely. But then when PMS brain passes, I'm kind of okay again. You know what I mean? So I don't know. Like there are like dudes in my life, like people that I'm seeing. I'm not seeing anybody, but I'm just not trying to like lock anybody down right now. You know what I mean? Like if I found somebody who was amazing, I would be totally open to it, but I'm just not putting a lot of energy into making it happen. And who knows, next week I could feel totally different, but I'm just trying to focus on love wellness and really making that work because I'm in a really critical period right now where I'm bringing on some business partners and, you know, gonna take on some money and really flesh out our team and like hire people. So I just have a lot to focus on that's not like dude related.
We've talked about this before, which I think is really positive, but I do feel like when you're focusing on yourself and doing what makes you happy and spending all that time, you know, really doing the activities that you want to do and not, you know, forcing yourself to do as much stuff, it does feel like it opens you up to the right people and the right conversations because you're more comfortable. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like that happened like to me recently. I decided I was like, I just want to focus on work and like, you know, making myself happy and doing all that. And then I met someone that I like.
Yeah, for sure. I think that when you are able to change your perspective a little bit and just relax into yourself and into what you should be doing every day that's really good for you, which is exercise, eating healthy, spending time with your friends, like enjoying your work, your whole energy just changes, you know? And I really believe in this energy concept in the world. If you are feeling, you know, desperate for a boyfriend or a girlfriend, or, you know, you're chasing somebody that you really like and it's like pretty overt, the energy that you're sending out into the world is wrong. And it's hard for somebody who you like to get on the same page as you when your energy is not just organic to who you genuinely are. You know what I mean? Because like relationships work out when you meet someone who's in their organic happy state because you get to know them for who they really are instead of somebody that is A, unavailable, or B, way too available. You know what I mean? Because like it's hard to deal with either one of those situations.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you could meet somebody who is such a great person, but they're like so desperate to be with you, or you're so desperate to be with them that you act fucking crazy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like when I first moved to LA, I met this guy that I fell for. And like, honestly, he reminded me of my ex. And so I think that's why I was like so into him. But just like my energy about it was all off because I think he reminded me of my ex. And so I was just like desperate to kind of like try to like make it happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I feel like sometimes the last person that we date, we feel like we need to, if we wanted that sort of vibe and we weren't the ones that ended it, we kind of keep searching for that same thing.
Yeah.
Because like that's what we liked and that's what we're comfortable with. So like when it comes around, you're like, oh my God, you know, but it may actually not be the right thing for you.
Well, obviously it's not the right thing for me because it threw me into like an anxiety hole.
Yeah. It's so crazy too, because I've also been in this place where you're dating someone and you just like, you like them and you want it to work, but they make you crazy and you have anxiety. Like, remember I was dating this guy over the summer.
Yeah.
And Lo and I were in the Hamptons and I literally like broke down crying over French fries at like 1 a.m. on a Saturday night. Cause I was just like, this man is making me crazy. And Lo was just like, and we were with our other friend Lauren and they were like, oh my God, what is wrong with you?
We ordered Jill 4 different types of potatoes.
Yeah, I was like having a panic attack. I was like, why won't he call me? Like, I don't understand. We've been dating for 3 months. Like, it's crazy. Men can really make you go nuts if you feel like you're sort of, I don't know. For me, it was like, I felt like there was like an elephant in the room of stuff that like we needed to talk about. And I just didn't want to talk about it because I kind of feel like I knew what the answer would have been.
Yeah.
And so instead of like speaking about it, avoiding it, and then I just like lost it.
Yeah. I think, you know, the biggest takeaway for me from my relationships for the past couple of years is that if something is giving me anxiety and stress, it's not the right relationship for me.
Yeah.
Even if I really like the person, for some reason, if it's not sitting right within my actual body, then I have to reconcile what is going on. You know what I mean? And so I don't know if it's something that like long term, like I should listen to, or I don't know if it's like PTSD from my last relationship, just being totally abandoned. You know what I mean? Like I'm not sure what it is.
If something's bothering you with someone new that you're dating and you bring it up and you like have the conversation, it's all about how they react to it. And then you'll be able to know, you know what I mean? Because obviously when you're dating someone, stuff's going to come up, but like if that person's like able to calm you or like able to just sort of set your mind straight, whereas like the other people didn't in the past, and you can move forward feeling like happy and relaxed, like that's the sign.
Yeah, you know? For sure. With this first guy I was dating in LA, like after the first day I met him, the anxiety set in like immediately, which is fucking crazy. It's like too early for somebody to be like doing anything wrong or fucked up to you. You know what I mean? It's like I met him, we like hit it off, and then literally the anxiety took over my body, and it really had an effect on how I behaved, how often I like spoke to him, which wasn't that much, but like, you know, like when it didn't go well, how I reacted to it and all of those things. And so, you know, it just is like, I felt so stupid because I was like, this is literally like, feels like the end of my relationship all over again. And it was a guy that I had like not gone out with for very long, but like, he didn't do a good job of like moving away from it with me. Like he basically just like ghosted, and like that ghosting like just brought up this feeling of the abandonment that I experienced with in my old relationship, and it literally like melted me into a stress puddle.
Yeah.
And
I know. I hated that man.
Yeah, and like it just was a good it honestly was a good reminder to me to treat people with kindness and respect, and that fully ghosting people is just not okay. It's so cruel, and like you don't have to have a sit down face to face conversation with somebody, especially if you've just gone out a couple times with them, but at least send them a text and just let them know like, hey, like I'm not ready for this right now, or you know, this just isn't working for me, because to leave somebody fucking wondering is just, it's wrong, especially as an adult. Like, it's just fucked up, because like everybody has stuff that they're dealing with, and they don't need to be stressed out on top of it, like about some like random dude that you've gone out with a couple times. You know what I mean? Anyway, yeah. So since that experience, I've gone out with a couple guys that I haven't like been super into, and I have made the decision like, Lauren, you don't want to have this conversation, but just send one fucking text, get over yourself, like be a woman, like be a kind person, and just be honest. And I have found, I've done it more than once now, like when you do that, you release the other person of stress and anxiety. You know what I mean? You don't just release yourself of stress and anxiety, you also like help that person out, because like everybody generally is like a kind, nice person and should be treated with respect. So like, The hardest thing about like ending something is just thinking about it. Once you actually do it, it like immediately gets easier. You know what I mean?
Definitely.
Like having a hard conversation is actually not that hard. It's the build up to it that is so difficult.
Yeah. One of the things that I'm having a thought about recently with the guy that I'm dating is I feel like because I've had so many bad relationships and because so many guys have like disappointed me and, you know, not stepped up to be like a good person, I feel like I'm like getting upset at certain things, not because the person's doing anything wrong, but because I am anticipating them doing something wrong.
Yeah.
And that's something that I'm trying to like stop myself from. I'm like, am I really upset at this? Or am I just thinking that like, you're going to not follow through? You know what I mean?
Well, you're what ifing based on your past experience.
Yeah, 100%. And it's not caused any like fights or nothing like that, but it's like this person's been like amazing and like really just is such a great human. And I feel like I'm setting him up for failure sometimes because I feel like I'm still trapped in my mind that I'm going to get abandoned. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, it's especially difficult in the first couple months of a relationship because you're not on solid ground.
Yeah. Well, that's like the other question is like, you know, in order for you to sort of loosen up and relax and feel comfortable, you do have to feel comfortable and confident in where you're at. But if you're sort of still in this like gray area where you're not like boyfriend and girlfriend and you're dating, it's like, you know, it's hard to feel, it's like you want to feel comfortable, but then you're like, am I being too comfortable, you know?
Yeah.
And then you're like, am I, not in the sense of playing games, but am I, you know, too available? Am I too this? And it's like, you can get in your head and then you can really mess it up.
Yeah, for sure. It's so easy to create a story in your mind that's not a true reflection of reality. It's so easy to do. And yeah, I mean, like you can mess something up based on just like something you've concocted in your mind or how you're worried it's going to go. People do that all the time, you know, but I have learned over the years that communicating, that's why communication is so important. It's so much easier to just have a quick, simple conversation about something that's worrying you rather than let it sit and fester. Because like when you let something sit and fester, it turns into a monster.
Definitely. I also think that the thought that I was also thinking is, you know, when you're in a good relationship and things are going great, it's like, sometimes I feel like you're like, why is it going great? You know what I mean? And then you like pick out things because you just are like, I'm used to there always being an issue. You know, it's like, it's kind of interesting to actually feel comfortable and confident while dating someone, because I haven't really felt that way before, you know?
Yes, I do know. I feel the same way. And it's funny, when I was younger, I felt like I was so much more open to experiences and like just things happening organically and having it be great because I don't think I was as exposed to disappointments, you know, when I was younger, when I was like in my like early 20s first dating. And now that I'm 31, going to be 32 this year, I've been disappointed so many times that I just expect disappointment instead of, yes, something great, exactly. You know, like, yeah. I just expect it to not work out. And
for sure.
it can totally throw you off when it's going well, because you're like, yes, why is it this? What is this? You know what I mean?
Especially when it's going well and you haven't, like they say, DTR, define the relationship. That actually leads me to our first listener question.
Okay.
It says, basically, what is the right way to get out of the gray zone? How do you approach that subject? What, you know, how can you do it where it doesn't seem like you're, like it's an ultimatum? Like, what are the proper ways to talk about moving forward when you're in the gray zone?
As you're reading me this question, all that came to my mind was like, I don't know.
I know. I'm like, I have no fucking idea. Like, good luck.
Okay, here are a couple thoughts. I feel like three.
I'm like, could you answer this for me? Maybe I need to need it.
I know. I feel like from like a timeline perspective, if you've been dating somebody for 3 months and you are hanging out more than twice a week, you're dating. And you probably just haven't had that conversation of like, we're boyfriend, girlfriend. But if you're seeing each other like 4 days a week and you've been hanging out for 90 mm-hmm. days now, you're kind of together. So how do you have that conversation?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think you just like say it. Like one day, like, this is my boyfriend.
No, I disagree because I dated somebody once that just started calling me their girlfriend. And I looked at them and I was like, okay. Like, you didn't want to confirm that with me, that that's okay with me. And it was, but like, I don't know. I think that, grown-ups have grown-up conversations. And it's hard to be the one to put yourself out there first and to bring it up. And I know that a lot of women are hesitant to do that because they don't want to seem needy or whatever.
Yeah.
But if you're hanging out with somebody a lot and it's been a decent amount of time, they are into you. And
yes,
it's okay.
I would ask yourself, like, why do you want to define it? Like, are you afraid if you don't define it that he's going to hook up with someone else? Like, are you afraid? Like, what are the reasons why you need to have a title on it? I've asked myself that question too, because like, if you're dating someone, everything's going amazing. Like, you know, it'll happen when it happens, as opposed to like, you know, really putting the, you know, that sort of like
the heat on.
Because it does feel like an ultimatum or like a weird, it just doesn't feel natural to be like, are you my boyfriend? Like, you know what I mean? And it's like, what are the reasons why we feel like we need to know those sort of things, I guess, is really like my question.
Yeah.
But I also think there's something so nice about like just taking your time with it. Because like when you rush stuff, or let's say like maybe he needs more time than you do, and it's like, that doesn't mean that he's not interested. Like, that doesn't mean that he doesn't like you, but maybe he just needs another month, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like when you bring stuff up too soon, it can kind of mess with like the natural flow of a relationship. So I think that it's like, you know, important to sort of also take a step back and see where your partner's at as well, you know, and give them the space that they need to like breathe and explore their feelings. Because I do feel like when you say that and someone's not ready, or someone, you know, it does feel like pressure, and pressure isn't natural or comfortable. You know what I mean?
Pressure makes people run the other way. I know that for
that
sure.
That being said, I do feel that if you're dating someone for 6 months, you know, okay, maybe you could say, look, what are we doing? We've been dating for 6 months. You know what I mean? But like, if it's something like a 3 month thing, I would still just sort of wait and see.
Yeah.
That's my opinion.
Yeah. I think that you could say something along the lines of, actually, I'm taking literally the words out of Jill's mouth, but they really rang true for me. Hey, how are you feeling about this?
Yeah.
That's a pretty easy question to ask. Yeah. But I agree with Jill. Like, and I have learned this lesson, like, don't pressure somebody. When they're ready, they will be ready and they will talk to you about it. Like, pressure can fucking destroy shit. It can blow stuff up. And I know if you really like somebody, it's really so difficult to try to avoid pressure cooker conversations. But if you can refrain from doing so, but at the same time, you behave like you're dating and you treat the person you're dating with love and respect, it actually allows you to keep the power, because you just are cool, you're relaxed about it, you're in, but you're not forcing somebody to be in it with you. You know what I mean? You're just enjoying your time together. And the next person that I meet that I really like, I'm gonna do it that way. Because the last time I was in a serious relationship, like, I was doing like the pressure cooker conversations, and like, it freaks somebody out. Even if they love you and they want to be with you, like, if they're not ready, they're just not ready. And it's not necessarily a reflection on you or how they feel about you. And I think that everybody could use a dose of just like, I don't know, taking a step back and realizing like if you're with somebody and you like each other, like that's okay. It's good enough. Like try to find peace in that. And I'm the queen of needing to know, honestly. So I sound crazy. I'm listening to myself sounding fucking crazy, telling you to like chill and to like lay off the pressure on somebody. But I think that you will be way happier in the long run, especially with women wanting to lock it down with a guy. Like it has to be their idea, or else you will always be in this pattern of the guy's there because you're forcing him to be there. You know what I mean?
Agree 100.
Agree
100. Take a little break to hear a lovely note from our sponsor.
Cool. Welcome back, listeners. Jilly, what's our next cue?
Our next cue is one of my fave types of cues because it has to deal with dating in the millennial age. Dating apps and communicating with people on dating apps. So here's the deal. This girl is on a dating app and she started talking to this guy in 2017. He's 23. He's from Manchester. Ooh, it's an international listener.
Ooh.
He's 25. So she lives in London and he lives in Manchester, which is 3 hours away. He's in medical school and he's going to be there for several more years. And they talk every once in a while. They talk every few months, she says, and it's over text message. It's, you know, they don't talk in person. They've never met in person, that sort of thing. But they have a really great mental connection every time they talk and they flirt. She says sometimes the conversations become sexual. And she finds herself reciprocating in these sort of, I guess, sexual flirtations that he's offering. She feels that she's in a weird stage where they're in between friends and more than friends. He acts like they're really close as if they talk every day. And she feels like it's kind of fake. So I guess she's just basically confused about why he's sort of, you know, acting like they're more than they are when they don't even talk that much. He also mentioned that he wants to come to London to meet her, but nothing has come from it ever since that he's mentioned it.
Okay, I know the answer.
So basically, the thing that I like about this question is I do feel like a lot of people are meeting people online, right?
Yeah.
And they're having these text conversations where you kind of talk to someone. Like, I had this. Like, this guy and I met on a dating app, and then, you know, he found me on Instagram and we were like DMing back and forth for like 6 months, you know, and he lived in LA and I live here. And he was like, let me know when you come to LA. And it was sort of this like flirtatious thing, you know, and he would stay, you know, present in my life, but like we never actually met. And I feel like this is kind of the same situation where, you know, a lot of people are keeping people that they've met online, like in the back burner. Like, I'm not going to actively pursue this, but like, you know, it's going to be there, so I know I have something. You know what I mean? So I feel like this is kind of happening to a lot of people, you know, with all of these dating apps and with social media and all of this, where we're just keeping these people waiting, like a list of people, like a roster, you know?
Yeah. It's just so easy to do that these days because of cell phones and because of text messaging. When you had to call somebody by phone on their cell phone before texting or at their home, it was like there was a purpose for the phone call. You know what I mean? And like, it was a lot easier when you had a purpose to like get together. But like with these texting, you can just like go on and on and on. And like, you don't have to reply sometimes, but I can tell you what's going on with this guy. He's really young. He's in medical school. And he is talking to you because it makes him feel good, but does he want like the commitment of like having to like see you and like making it real? No, he's like obviously not ready for that.
She also mentioned that she hasn't told him that she likes him.
Well, I mean, hello, obviously they like each other if they are talking about boning.
Yeah, if they're, you know, it's flirty and all that. I do feel like if I were her, I would do a one thing like, hey, let me know when you're in town. I'd love to hang out. And then, you know, you could either do that.
But that's even still non, but that's even, but that even that is still non-committal.
Well, here's my thing. There's two options. You can either say, let me know when you're in town and we'll hang out. And then if he reaches out when he's in town, there's that. And then, you know, next time he reaches out and he's not in town, say, look, you know, I really enjoy talking to you, but like, you know, let me know if you want to hang out. If not, like, in, like, we don't need to go back and forth like this. You can do that and find out that way. Or you can say, hey, look, I like you and I'd like to meet in person. Like, if you'd like to meet in person, like, let's meet in person. You know what I mean? I think those are the two options. You either let him do it and just kind of, you know, the next time he reaches out to sort of chat back and forth, you know, just be like, look, we've already done this. Let's not talk until we're, you know, in person. I think that is.
Is her question, how do I get this guy to meet me? Or is her question, like, what's going on?
The question is, she likes him and she wants to know if he likes her, what's going on, why are they talking so much? It's been going on for months. She's confused. She just wants to know what to do. Clearly she likes him. So obviously she wants to hang out with him and she's wondering talking to her.
Well, like, yeah, he likes you. Does he like you enough to like get in his car and drive 3 hours to London? He doesn't know because he hasn't met you in person yet. Does he want to meet you in person? I don't know. I think it's like a fantasy to him, but like when it really comes down to it, does he want to have to like make a plan, take a day, go meet a stranger? Like a lot of like emotional stuff goes into doing that. Like it takes like a strong person, especially if it's like so far away and not just like, hey, like let's meet at the bar down the street kind of thing. You're asking a lot of somebody, but if you have been talking for a really long time, they should like you enough to want to do that. Here's what I know about men. If they want to see you and hang out, they make it happen. If they don't, then they're just enjoying talking to you and having you a part of their like fantasy world. And it just makes them feel good to talk to you. It makes them feel less alone. And that's it. That's the bottom line, honestly. And you can do what Jill said. Like, I think that you have to draw the line with this guy because I think that you are falling more and more in love with this like fantasy person. And like, that is difficult. So I think you need to say like, hey, like it would be really great to get together. Like, are you free on Saturday at noon? Like, let's meet halfway between London and Manchester at this place. Like, the only way you are going to see this guy is if you specifically give him a date and time and a place, honestly. Because if you say like, hey, I want to meet you, he's going to be like, yeah, me too. And then just do the same thing he always does, which is just never make it happen.
She needs to ignore it. That's the thing. You can either say, let me know if you want to hang out. Other than that, like, we don't have to have a back and forth. Or you can say, I like you. Let me know if you want to hang out.
But, Julie, you basically just said the same thing. There's no difference between option A or option B that you presented.
Yeah, option two is more like, you know, aggressive. Option two is aggressive. You can be aggressive and be like, I like you, would like to, you know.
They've been talking for months. She's allowed to suggest a date and time. In fact, she should. It's the only way she's going to know if this guy is for real. Because if you just say like, hey, I like you, I want to hang out. Like, then you're again putting the ball in his court and he hasn't come through once. So what about saying that makes you think that he's going to come through again and like actually suggest that they get together?
Well, I don't, but I think she's going to say, stop talking to me unless you want to hang out, you know?
Oh, okay.
That's what I mean. It's like you're giving him...
Oh, like you're giving him the ultimatum. Like, hey, like we need to see each other or like I can't do this anymore.
Yeah, but you don't have to say it like that. It can just be like, hey, let me know when you're in town you want to hang out. Other than that, like, I don't... Like, until then, like, let's just not chat as much, you know?
Yeah.
All right. New question. This one is a sensitive topic. A beautiful listener wrote in and she said, how do I respond to someone asking me, did you gain weight?
What? Says, what?
Yeah. She says she's a healthy 22-year-old female, but she's no size 2 model, which I'm sure you're beautiful. No one, doesn't matter what size.
Yeah. Size 2 does not equal model, girl.
No. You're probably a babe, just throwing it out there. I can tell based off of your eloquent sentences. Okay. She says, her eyebrow lady, who she goes to every month, asked her this question while threading her eyebrows. She asked her randomly, did you gain weight? Just on your face and not on your body. She said that she was feeling really great until those words came out of that woman's mouth. She said that it really hurt her feelings, and she says this isn't the first time that she brought this up. Last year, after she came back from a summer internship, she said the same thing, like, welcome back, you gained weight. So she says, is this her personality? I understand she may not meant it in that way. However, I think her comments about my appearance are rude. Is it okay for me to feel hurt by comments made about my weight? Am I being too sensitive?
You need to go to a different eyebrow lady. She's nosy. She's like, that is so inappropriate. I would not say that to my own best friend. Like, what?
Yeah, someone said that to me once, and I've had it happen to me once, and it was, I think, a cultural barrier. We were from two different countries, and I think that sometimes when people are communicating about weight and body image and figure, there's a different idea of that in every country. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
In some countries, people don't think it's a big deal or don't think that weight means beauty. You know what I mean? In the US, a lot of time we associate that with beauty. So we're very sensitive if someone says anything about anyone's weight. And it's, you know, asking, it's better to ask someone what their age is than their weight. You know what I mean? It's yeah. Like such a taboo topic. But I don't think that you should be hard on yourself for feeling sensitive, but I do think you should realize that, like, this isn't, you know, people may say things to you, obviously, that are rude, and you have to figure out how to, like, let them go. You know what I mean? Like, Lo, you and I both know this. You obviously a thousand times more than me, but, like, I used to get tweets, comments on, like, all my photos. You're fat. Like, you'd look great if you lost weight. You look like Kate Hudson when she was pregnant. Like, I used to get all that shit. And of course it, like, really, really hurts you, but you, like, can't let anything that people say get to you. You really can't. You have to just keep on moving on. That being said, you don't have to subject yourself to it, you know?
Yeah.
And by going back to this woman that's repeatedly making you feel bad about yourself, you shouldn't be doing that. You should go somewhere new, because, like, you don't need to be around people that talk to you like that, especially, like, it does hurt your feelings. So, like, why would you continue going back? You don't need to pretend that it doesn't hurt your feelings. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do. I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think what you said about, like, a cultural difference is really thoughtful. And, like, that could totally be possible. We don't have enough information to know. And you're right in that regard. But Jill's second point, that if, like, it's not making you feel good, you're your own person. There are other ladies that can thread your eyebrows that will not ask you if you have gained weight.
For sure. I mean, throughout my life, I've gone up 20 pounds, lost 20 pounds. I gained it again. I just lost it again. You know what I mean? It's like, I've had to deal with that so many different times. Even, like, recently I posted a photo of myself and there was all these comments like, you've lost so much weight over the years, or, like, you know, wow, like, look at your weight. And it's like, everything is like, weight, weight, weight. And it's like, at some point, I just wish everyone would just shut up about weight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, what about cool shirt? Or, like, you know what I mean? I don't know. It's like, why is everything so focused on weight? And it would be one thing if, like, I was a fitness instructor, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or, like, trying to do that. But, like, I totally feel you, girl. Like, I'm so sensitive about comments about my weight. And, like, you know, it's so hard to, like, not let shit like that affect you, but you just have to sort of try to push it aside and keep going and keep doing the things that make you happy. But yeah, and also just avoid situations with people that don't make you feel good about yourself.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, like, I already consume myself with how much what I look like in the mirror. It's like 30 to 40% of my day is, like, just consumed with, like, do I look cute? Do I look fat? Do I feel fat? And, like, you don't need to be around somebody else that amplifies that and turns it up to, like, 80% of your day.
The beginning of our podcast was all about how I was like, I look old. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Individuals are so hard on ourselves. You know what I mean?
And, right. Like, we already do it to ourselves.
Be around people that, like, bring us up and that, like, you know, especially someone that's working on your face, you know what I mean? You want them to be like, you're gorgeous. Like,
yeah,
you know, close.
I don't get it. That's the move on.
Who's your lady loving today?
Who is my lady loving today? I was thinking about it on the car ride down. I don't know. Who's your lady loving today? I need some info.
Is Jessica Seinfeld?
Okay.
I don't know why. I just started following her on Instagram.
Cool.
I've been watching her cooking videos.
Yeah.
And I admire it. You know, I admire that she's putting content out there. She's cooking. She's just, I don't know. She's my lady loving. I like her. I like the vibe.
Great. Jessica Seinfeld, you are our lady loving this week, lady.
You are. I'm going to buy her cookbook for when I cook.
I think she like puts spinach in her brownies and shit.
Yeah. I don't know. I get this, like, her videos are very interesting. They're like shot in like an interesting way.
That's cool. And,
you know, I love it. I love a typical non-influencer, you know?
Same. 100%. All right, y'all. Thank you so much. Okay. I love
it. Guys, for listening, please remember to rate us on iTunes, like, and subscribe so we can
remain relevant. So we can remain relevant. Yeah, honestly, like, hitting the subscribe button does do us a huge service at the end of the day. It helps us bring in ad dollars so that we can keep bringing you Lady Lovin' every single week. So hit that subscribe button, tweet at us, Instagram us, and we would really appreciate it, you guys.
Happy Tuesday, whatever day you're listening on.
Happy day. All right, we'll talk to you next week. See ya.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.